Hey everybody, this is your friend in podcasting, Phil Lernis, and I am sitting in the cell phone waiting area just outside Los Angeles International Airport. I'm waiting for my friend in podcasting and the best man in my forthcoming wedding, Dean Haglund, to arrive. Should be any minute now. He's flying in from Detroit. He's going to be spending a couple weeks here in L.A., and we're bringing this podcast to you more than 2 days later than we like. I apologize for that. And, honestly, I must confess, it's getting more and more challenging these days to get a podcast to you each and every week. We've yet to fail. Even if in the past, for example, when Dean moved to Australia, we needed the sizable assistance of some of our friends to guest host, to co-host from time to time in order to make sure that we never missed a week of your Chillpack Hollywood Hour. I find myself wondering more and more of late how much longer we ought to continue doing this show. Have we overstayed our welcome? There are some weeks where I know that the answer to that is no. But, you know, it's fascinating because we started this show almost 12 years ago at a time when we were just coming in at the tail end of the first wave of podcasts. And we are probably one of the last shows that came from that first wave that is still standing. Now, everyone has a podcast. We have come a couple of times dangerously close to having what I would describe as a hit show on our hands. But it's been a little while. And not that that matters. In fact, in some ways, it's very freeing to know that, as we like to say, our audience on a weekly basis may not be legion, but you are very loyal. And we do feel that we're your friends in podcasting. Nevertheless, I am in a place of not knowing, let's say. And what better place to talk about this than in the cell phone waiting lot, waiting for the call. I feel that way about this podcast. I'm waiting for the call about what's next. Maybe there's another form that this podcast can evolve into. So that's what I'm thinking. But that's not what you tuned in to hear. All right. On the other side of our usual opening, I'll be joined here in the Kia Soul by Mr. Dean Haglund. Cue theme music.
And now,
from the didgeridoo to 140 miles east of Kalamazoo, at least as far as Google Maps says, this version is a tribute to Motown.
Chillpack Hollywood Hour with Dean Haglund and Phil Lernis.
Hey, great. I'm only 5 hours late.
Dean Haglund, welcome back to Los Angeles.
My God. Oh my God, the weather I've seen today. 3 inches of ice raining down.
Oh my God.
Like, you know, you go to the movie theater and the cube, ice cube dispenser at the soda pop thing? That's how it was coming down in Detroit. That's what I drove through. 6:30 a.m.
I was gonna actually pull over and get my show notes, but I figure we'll...
You had
we'll,
5 hours to memorize them.
Oh, my goodness.
Waiting for me.
So you left Detroit.
Yeah.
This morning.
Yeah. And then, we take...
What are we taking?
Well, we take the old way, the Century, go straight up.
Century to what?
Century to Broadway.
Okay. And then all the
through
way up.
South Central, and yeah.
Nobody gets hurt. Okay. So what time in Detroit, local time... Do you take off this morning? Are you supposed to take off?
At 6:30 a.m. So, okay. So I was up at 5:30 a.m. Throwing... what do they use now? They don't use salt anymore. It's sodium chloride. Much better for the environment.
Wait a minute. You were up at 5:30 throwing sodium chloride?
Yes. Can you believe it? Onto our driveway and steps because...
Oh, you really were?
Yeah. I mean, because it was that icy. It was raining ice, if you could imagine.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I thought it might be raining men.
Another classic.
It was raining men throwing sodium chloride while raining ice.
Yeah, that right. Story. So then they had to de-ice the plane, and then you have to go, and then the plane has to taxi to the other side of the runway where the de-icing machine is, and then they spray you down, and then they has to taxi all the way back to get to the, and then he takes off, and he goes, oh, sorry, everybody, we're going to be like 40, 50 minutes late, but don't worry, Denver's got a blizzard going on, so all the flights are going to be delayed, so you don't have to run. But my app said that my flight was still leaving, and I had 3 minutes to get to the gate, and from Terminal B to Terminal A, I ran, which I'm, you know, a bit out of shape, I found. And then had to back to... And then a blizzard right on the tarmac. Those was when I started sending you photos of the blizzard. And then we had to go and drive across the tarmac to where the de-icing machines were. And it was rush hour, so there was a dozen...
It was rush hour among the
planes.
De-icing machines?
Yes, yeah. So it was a dozen planes ahead of us, said the pilot.
I love Denver, the city of Denver.
Yep.
And there's nothing good happens when you're flying into Denver.
I know. And it's such a weird place to put a hub because there's always, you're a mile high, you're up in the Rockies. Of course, you're going to have blizzards
and,
all winter long.
And the turbulence can be so choppy coming in there.
It was that was turbulent. It was just not my day to travel. Because it's, you know, hey, Gung Hei Fat Choi, it's Year of the Pig.
Yeah. It's Year of the Pig, yeah.
And guess what?
Congratulations.
Snake, this is the worst year for the snake. So I've been advised to lay low, no new investments, don't make any critical decisions regarding my future. So I'm, you know, it's another year of Chill Pack Hollywood.
Well, that's funny.
Good one.
Oh my god. Shenyun, everybody. This drive is brought to you by Billboards Advertising. Shenyun.
We're just gonna read all the billboards all the way up Century. I haven't eaten, of course, since 5.
Wow.
So, you know, if we need to do any product placement.
Speaking of food, I mean, you know, I was supposed to feed my cat a couple hours ago.
Oh, my
so,
God.
You know,
where's Lily?
I have the car, so Lily can't get home.
Oh, she's not home.
No, she's...
Everybody's running errands because...
On foot.
Yes.
Yeah, because Dean Haglund's blizzarded in Denver. meanwhile, here, it's so chilly that this person decided they needed to put up their convertible
top
roof on their car.
Yeah. In their car.
So
automatic.
So it's not great weather here either. Don't kid yourself.
Oh my God, it's sunny and hot. I should be in shorts and a t-shirt in this 50 plus, whatever the temperature is.
So, okay, Detroit.
Anyway, so my apologies, yes.
Detroit.
Tell me Detroit stories.
No, you.
Oh, yeah, I tell you. I'm there.
So how is Patty enjoying Detroit compared to Australia?
Well, it's much less stressful, of course. From CFO to Chief Executive Internal Audit, CFO, you have to do monthly ends. With Internal Audit, you come in and just go, yeah, you did that wrong, and you leave. And
so which is she now?
She's internal audit now.
Oh.
So it's much less stressful. She doesn't have to do month closings continually and then have somebody on your team go, oh, I forgot to add.
Is that a promotion?
It is a promotion, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's now, not a position that I knew of in the corporate structure.
Oh, my gosh. I should lend you my internal audit magazines.
To CFO?
Sounds big deal.
Yeah, chief financial officer. Well, yeah. I mean, you're an officer, so you have to get saluted. You're the chief officer in charge of everything having to do with finance. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and it's also a lot. It's very stressful. Very stressful.
I mean, I naturally thought that President Trump was going to nominate her to the IMF to be our representative at the World Bank.
Oh, it could have happened, but she would have turned it down. Because, you see, internal audit requires a special type of attention to detail.
Oh, don't kid yourself. My Buddhist practicing teacher is constantly telling me to do an internal audit.
See what you did? Excellent. So anyway, that's how Detroit is.
So no, but so oh. She likes it. But she so the job situation is less stressful.
Yes.
But what about the living situation? The geography,
the
being
geography.
Back in the States.
Yes.
But I mean, she was no fan, as I know, of the harsh winter.
Well, she managed somehow with clever foresight. I'm not sure how. But she was both in North Carolina and Miami during this polar vortex, and Austin, Texas. So she went on a couple internal audit to a couple stores to do a couple presentation meetings, and missed most of what I was bitching about and suffering through when the house that we bought is so poorly insulated that the furnace at full blast, 24 hours a day, struggled to get to, like, 60 degrees.
Wow.
That was struggling to get to 60. So, yeah, we got a lot of renovations and insulation ahead of us.
So that's one thing that's great for her is being back in the States. She's traveling a lot in the States again.
Yes, yes. Okay. So the Marriott points are coming back, baby. All that.
And so she gets away from the horrible winter. So the polar vortex.
Yes.
Oh, I'd been hearing about it vis-a-vis Chicago.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't occur to me that also the Detroit area.
It there. Crossed the Great Lakes, of course. It came down, I mean.
What is, for those of us who did not
do well
minor in meteorology.
Yes.
What is a polar vortex, Dean?
Well, in the wintertime, normally, the jet streams travel across the globe from west to east, as you know. Why it takes you longer to go to Japan on an airplane than come back, because you have the wind behind you coming back, whereas you got headwinds going, right? Well, so those headwinds are high up there.
I mean, thanks for using Japan as the example. I mean, just cross-country is an example.
Yeah, example. Yeah, yeah, exactly, because the winds go around. Right. So at the top of the globe, those winds just form a tight circle, a vortex, keeping the cold air up there.
Oh.
However, because of...
We hate the howevers.
Yes, this year... The ice didn't form, and so the water that's up there released the heat that cracked the jet stream by the rising humidity coming up from the lakes that weren't frozen over quite fast enough, smacking the polar vortex open and allowing it to drain down the Canadian side and into Chicago, Detroit, Toronto, got it. As far as from Edmonton, was on one edge, and then all the way to Montreal on the other side, and then the dip through Minnesota, Chicago.
I mean, do you remember that like global warming disaster film from the guy who made Independence Day, Roland Emmerich, right?
Yes.
Day After Tomorrow?
The Day After Tomorrow, yes.
So am I wrong in thinking that that's what he's playing with, is the idea of the polar vortex?
Yes.
With the sudden drops in temperatures?
Right.
And...
So it was an actual thing, but he made it like a tornado.
Exaggerated
it. Yeah, coming down, and it's suddenly at minus 150 degrees.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not sure the planet ever got to minus 150.
So,
but, yes.
but this is all climate change.
It is climate change. Now, you would argue that just the ice didn't form this year. Other years, there was more ice than ever. You know, it's just the weirding, as we say. So it's not a predictable as
it once
was.
Well, that's exactly it.
Right?
That's the models constantly have to be redone. And just like actual models who, in order to keep doing print work or runway work, have to keep being redone.
Oh, I get what you did there.
Yeah. That was good. But this is what we've been hearing is that, you can't sit in comfort that we still might have the idea of 10 or 12 more years before this giant tipping point, because every projection model is only good for that projection model. Everything is so unpredictable that the next tumultuous event in terms of our global climate changes the modeling.
Yes, and no. I mean, climate is long-term predictions of the thing, but we could still predict the weather.
But we can't
30 days out.
But we can't predict the effects accurately of climate change. For example, these methane bubbles,
yes,
right, where the permafrost layers are not there, and all of a sudden people think, oh, what are these creating? Oh my God, they were methane layers. Who knew that
right.
was a thing?
And that there's all that gas trapped in there that has. Releases all that gas gets rid of,
and then my goodness, if we don't have the weight from
all that ice
that leads to increased tectonic activity, increased seismic activity, which now triggers volcanic activity, and we got to throw ash into the projection model,
which then theoretically cools it down because it's blocking sun, or does it heat it up?
Traps whatever, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
So yes, the joy is our computer modeling is so great that we can know 30 days out when we're having heat waves or cold snaps. The unfortunate thing is we're having more heat waves than cold snaps.
Yeah.
So I mean, Australia right now, heat wave so bad that they have to throw away peaches and nectarines because the pit cooked the fruit from the inside. That's how the pit itself got hot while on the tree and cooked the fruit and ruined it.
But do you care?
Well, yes, because I love nectarines and peaches from Australia. They're delicious.
You do? Okay, all right.
Do I care?
But I mean, you're not there anymore. It's like so long, suckers.
Well, yeah, but I was still, would like a shipment of delicious Queensland's fruit.
What? So, does Patty miss Australia?
We miss some things about it, of course. And some things we don't, of course. So, we're very glad to be out of there because the house we had no insulation. At least this place has some insulation. It's just very poorly done.
But you went to Sydney not thinking you were going to encounter the kind of cold and weather that you did.
No, that's right.
Right? Because you were sold a bill of goods that it was equivalent to... the weather in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Hey, look at this. I haven't seen this since the construction started. We are passing what will be the home of the Super Bowl participant.
LA Rams.
LA Rams. Oh, yeah. My God. I don't know if you've heard about, what's... Looking back at, the last five teams to lose the Super Bowl.
No.
It's like the rug gets pulled under them. Disarray and dissension is their parting consolation prize, and they're never heard from again. But...
Here's the stadium going up.
But this is going to be massive.
Massive stadium, yeah. And I don't know if it's all surface parking, but this was the old Hollywood Bowl racetrack. Not the Hollywood Bowl, the Hollywood Park.
Yeah, and racetrack. The Forum... Is the Forum still there?
I don't know. I thought the Forum was elsewhere, but I know this was the racetrack.
Fabulous Forum in Inglewood, heart of Inglewood.
I think you're right, actually. It's all together. So, yeah, it's going up at a record pace. Apparently, they're supposed to be playing next season.
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool looking, actually, from a distance,
I must say. It's kind of fun. It looks almost like we're having the 2024 Olympics early.
It's more pleasing, at least in terms of what I'm seeing now, than the designs for all the LACMA reconfigurations.
Oh, no. Did Renzo Piano bow out?
I don't know, but remember they were talking about enclosing Wilshire?
And doing a walkover from Wilshire to the other side.
Just awful. Just awful. They had achieved a place where LACMA was such a wonderful place to go and just spend time and hang out, and
right.
It was so relaxing and comfortable, and so they needed to cut that completely out of our lives.
Well, no, I mean, it's
altogether.
Also, it is a 1982 postmodern kind of, if you think of postmodernism as the worst what architecture had to offer, then yeah, LACMA is a neat.
I mean, I love that facelift. Here in ultra-progressive Los Angeles, we believe that building walls are immoral, but building a full set of walls around Wilshire Boulevard sounds like a great idea.
It's not around Wilshire, but it's over Wilshire Boulevard.
Well, and on the sides too. I mean,
yeah, well, because you got to walk
it's
down.
A wall. Yeah, those are walls. You can't.
No, you're not.
You can't enclose something without walls.
Well, so then, are you against the enclosing of 101 freeways? So
you know where I was this week?
Oh, yes, let's hear it.
I went to a dedication ceremony.
Dedicated to
At the School of Health Sciences. There at UCLA in the Geffen building, went to a dedication for something called the Gary Shandling Learning Studio.
No way.
3 years after his death.
Uh-huh.
It was a wonderful memorial again for Gary, who gave no less than $15.2 million to the School of Health Sciences. There are a variety of programs, and the building of this learning studio, which is the largest gathering space in the whole School of Health Sciences. And it was an incredibly inspiring and touching event. But Gary's connection to UCLA goes back to when he was 27 years old, and he was in a very serious car crash in Los Angeles where he got just crunched from either side.
Oh, okay.
And they saved his life at UCLA, and while he was going through the long recovery procedure there at the UCLA Medical Center, he began what would be a lifelong process of keeping diaries.
Oh.
And his first diary entry after the recovering, you know, after surviving this accident, not recovering, that would take a while longer. But after surviving was, okay, that's it. I'm dedicating my life to stand-up comedy.
Wow.
Like, this was the wake-up call that there's only so much time.
I gotta do this.
I'm giving everything I have towards this. And it leads to all his success, and he bequeaths it all back to the place where he made that realization.
That's amazing. And so what will be taught at the education of...
Well, it's a place where, appropriately enough, given a guy who mentored so many people. Some of the people he mentored were there to speak at this event. Judd Apatow, Sully McCullough, Kevin Nealon's, Sarah Silverman. It's a place for mentoring for a lot of the health science students.
Oh. So doctors and nurses come in and mentor.
And for the students.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
And they have meetings and events and ceremonies there at key, places in these students' education.
Right, so graduation ceremonies, that kind of thing.
In fact, it's there in that room where they receive their packets and learn where the next stage of their training will be for the next 3 or 7 years or however long.
When they get to... do the residency.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly. So anyway, so it was a really, really cool thing. I'm going to...
name drop.
I'll steal jokes because a few of these were great. But Kevin Nealon, who interrupts Judd Apatow's introduction of him by saying, oh, they know who I am. he said, you know, I read in the paper that Gary Shandling bequests $15.2 million. And I came down here immediately because I misunderstood what the word bequest was. I thought he was somehow accused of stealing this money, and I came to defend my friend. He told two things that were great. He said, you know, it's wonderful. I see Gary's name on the wall here. And by the way, these are the kind of walls we need to be building, he said. But he said, to see his name on the wall here, you know, it reminds me of back when I first meet him. And, you know, and I'm seeing Gary's name on the marquees at comedy clubs or in Vegas or theaters, you know, where he's performing. Of course, the letters were bigger in those places. You would think 15.2 million would get you bigger letters here, at least bigger than the fucking thermostat. And he was absolutely right. The thermostat was bigger than the letters of Gary's name.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
So that was really funny. But he also talked about how Gary, you know, always wanted to connect with people. That was what really mattered to him. After shows, you would always see him go out and interact with people and meet with people, wanting to learn about them, asking them questions. Usually the questions were, how did I look? Was I funny? Which was about him.
Right.
But more it's about them. So I thought that was really
great.
That's
a pretty good joke.
Sarah Silverman's great line was she opened, she was the final speaker, and she opened with by saying, you know what I like to do after I masturbate? I like to go to dedication ceremonies. And what was great about that was that that was a Gary Shamling joke.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty funny.
You know, he would always fill in the punchline with wherever he was at that moment. So that was really cool.
That's funny.
But Sully's story, and I think you'll love this, and I think, and hopefully our listeners will find this inspiring,
right?
As well, because, you know, Sully and I not only grew up together, we both went to UCLA at the same time.
And he was a guest on our show.
And he was a guest on our show. And he, going to UCLA was a big deal for him on a variety of levels, but one was because UCLA had a comedy club. And it was for aspiring stand-ups.
Oh.
And you would work together to encourage each other's writing, encourage each other's performing, but also the comedy club would weekly produce stand-up shows in all the dorms, because it's such a big campus with such a big residency in terms of people in the dorms, that you basically have a captive audience dying for free entertainment.
Right.
So they would do these shows every week, and that's how, you know, like your hell gigs, this is how he's cutting his teeth and learning. That's and so after a couple of years of that, he thinks, oh, I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
Great.
And he finds out that Doritos, the chips.
Yeah.
Delicious, aren't they? The next part of the drive is brought to you by Doritos.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Doritos was putting on a nationwide comedy or college comedy competition,
search competition.
For the funniest college comedian.
Oh.
And he goes, well, now, is my opportunity. And so sure enough, he puts together his little two-minute sample and sends it in. Gets rejected in the first round. Doesn't even make the second round.
Wow.
There's eight rounds of judging. He doesn't even make it. And he is distraught. His comedy career is over. Before it's even begun, right. Some could say, but we wouldn't say it to him at that moment.
Right.
So he was really, really distraught. But he learned that there was a second part to this Doritos competition. The other part was that the winning university that ate the most Doritos and saved the bags would win a prize. And the prize was having Jerry Seinfeld come and do a concert on campus that would be free for students.
Wow.
And so he said, well, I might not get to be a comedian, but I can bring Jerry Seinfeld to this campus. So he spearheaded the campaign to eat Doritos and to save the bags. And UCLA won.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, they got a big population. And
so, but sometimes because of that, it makes it harder because you got to keep the bags. The
right.
bags are the proof.
How do you collect that?
Yeah. So he was kind of spearheading this. So they win the concert. And Jerry Seinfeld decides it would be fun to have some of the stand-up comics at that college open for him.
Ah.
So four were picked, and one of them was Sully.
Oh, my gosh.
So he gets to meet Jerry Seinfeld. He gets to open for him. But at that concert is Jerry Seinfeld's legendary manager, George Shapiro.
Yeah, big deal.
Shapiro West, right?
Yeah.
A big company, produced so many things, managed so many of the great comedy stars. George Shapiro is so taken with Sully's set, he signs him right then and has been his manager ever since.
You're kidding.
And as Sully said, I was back in show business. But isn't that great?
That is so great.
Like, you never know when the break will come, what the break will be.
Right.
Sometimes it comes from eating Doritos. Eating lots and lots of potato chips. I feel that this is the technique that most Americans are focusing on.
This is what I'm now reevaluating my entire career. I'm going to now just indulge.
Now, we're passing one of the great examples of, is it programmatic architecture?
Programmatic architecture, right. It's the big donut.
The big donut.
Kindles now.
Is it Kindles?
It wasn't before, was it? Wasn't it Denny's Donuts?
Randy's?
Randy's. Yeah, wasn't it Randy's?
Oh, well, we might be in a different spot. Maybe there's more than one. Who knows?
It could be. But there it is, the giant yellow donut. It is yellow. It doesn't look like...
So, I mean, that was a live event of the week, huh? Wasn't it?
It's kind
of just described.
Yeah, we should have cut in the music.
The Chilpack Hollywood live event of the week.
Days late on this show.
Yes, we apologize.
Yeah.
Somebody cares. Somebody's got a Monday morning workout that they listen to this.
Monday morning workout set to us. We really help you keep the rhythm of that.
That's right.
Monday morning.
Keep the pace up. Everyone, if you're on the treadmill or
breathe
the bicycle,
hold, and every time Dean goes, what? You release. So let's talk some business here.
Oh, yes, please.
We're jumping all over the place here.
Well,
but talking about future live events.
Okay.
We got a bachelor soiree to plan.
Yes, holy smokes.
People contacted me after hearing what the plan was originally and just loving the plan. And then, but of course... first of all, those people not invited. And secondly, fire at the Lost Spirits Distillery. So we don't know when they'll be even reopened. I mean,
right.
they're confident that they will be reopened.
Bigger and better.
Bigger and better. Though I'm not sure we can send you your money back, or we can keep your money and give you preferential entrance once we reopen. I'm not sure if that actually sends a comforting message.
Yes, once we reopen.
That sounds a lot like, oh, shit, we're not covered for all this.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me. So I took the refund.
Yeah, okay. So a fire, well, I mean, like, we booked a reservation once before. Why wouldn't we just book a reservation again?
This is what I
once
thought.
It's reopened.
If, yes,
yeah.
If we can all assemble.
Well, we don't need all of us to. I mean, honestly, I just need me. But
hey, now I'm being shut out of this thing. Okay, fine, whatever. So it's well, you've been very mum, might I say.
No, I weighed in.
Did you?
But this is, you know, my feeling. First, one of the things that was tough about losing this place was...
It was perfect.
It was perfect. That's one thing. But it's it ties into Hollywood.
Yep.
It's drinking. It's also not something everybody does. But it's also a new experience for me. So that is all great, fun stuff.
Right.
So,
for a guy who's done everything.
I've seen... Everything.
Yes, you have.
I've seen it all. What do you replace it with?
Yeah.
And we have dinner reservations that were still on the books from where we were going afterwards.
Yeah.
And we can keep that, though we could swap out the whole thing with something else if another idea occurred.
Right. And so I feel you have an idea brewing.
No, I don't.
No, what?
I don't really.
This has sounded so much like there's something really
good. No, but what I'm saying is, so we don't have to be sold. Like, if there was a venue that was restaurant and bar, we could do that. We don't have to just stick to to the restaurant. But we've been using that as kind of something to bounce off against.
Model.
Yeah.
Yes.
So...
What do you got? What do you want?
Well, but I liked, the thing I liked about the Nomad Bar at the Hotel Giannini, whatever, is the decor and all of this seemed very swanky, very old school, very Mad Men.
Very true.
Which I liked. That right. I want. I want a well-heeled clientele, easy on the eyes, that smell nice.
But there's nine of us. There's nine gentlemen
right.
in your party.
And indeed, we found out while you were on one of your legs of your flight today that no strings could be pulled to get us any kind of preferential seating.
I knew it.
So I did suggest, maybe, I don't know what time they open or what, but what about the tiki bar at Clifton's?
Oh, well, now that I thought as well, looking around, but I thought you were angry at Clifton's because of their closure of the kitchen. Perhaps that was their plan
but
all along.
Yeah, it was their plan all along. That's absolutely true. But we're not going to eat there. We are going to have dinner. And believe me, I have eaten there at night. We're not going to eat there.
Right.
So,
but in closing their kitchen, I thought your outrage at the crushing of Clifton's history was too much to bear for...
No, not to avoid drinking at a really cool spot. Now, I have been at the tiki bar before, but I actually haven't drank there. I've been in a event there, but didn't drink there.
Oh.
Well, and it's fun.
It's
cool.
Fun. It's cool. And it's got the big tree.
And I'm wondering if we could... But I'm talking about the tiki bar.
The
tiki bar itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
With the hidden references to Walt Disney in the wall mural that is the map of the world, the explorer's
what?
Map of the world.
Yeah. What?
So,
I didn't see that.
But anyway, the tiki bar's cool. That would be fun if we could all get a place in there, and then we go to dinner.
Yeah.
I had looked into, in the basement at Clifton's, they're opening up a speakeasy, but that's not quite open
right.
yet.
And if you're feeling speakeasy, what about remember that place that was the old bank? And you can drink in the vault.
Well, that's the Crocker Club.
Yeah, no, the other one too, up in Spring. It was a smaller place.
Yes.
By the just below Tentertino. You know, I haven't been in Los Angeles for 4 years.
But here's
except
the
once or, you know.
The challenge on some of these places is actually being able to get in early enough to do some damage before our 9 o'clock reservations. Because surprisingly, like
is Broadway here, by the way.
The bar at the French Dip place, Kohl's,
yeah.
The bar in there. Which is super cool. The design looks perfect for what I'm looking for. The bar opens at 7 p.m.
Yeah, see, yeah.
What in the world?
What in the world? Oh, so I didn't realize there was a design aesthetic going on as
yes.
well. So it's not just something new or lots of, like Bar Jackalope, which is at the back of the Seven Grand that you push a button and they open up and there's a bunch of more whiskeys behind there. But it didn't really have the...
The ambiance.
Well, it looked like the Golden Gopher, frankly.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to go to the Golden Gopher.
Site of the bar in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes, and the oldest remaining liquor license from 1903 somehow survived Prohibition.
Did you see that there is legislation that they're going to be voting on in Hawaii about upping the age... to allow you to smoke?
Oh.
Because I don't know what the age is there now. I mean, most places, what would it be, 18? Or?
Yeah, I would think, or
okay.
16.
So there's a bill afoot to make it illegal to smoke if you are younger than 100 years of age.
That's fantastic.
It is fantastic,
That's
isn't
hilarious.
It? Both because it gives you something to shoot for.
Right.
And it makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense, and it's like, but if you get to 100, good on you. I will buy you a cigar.
Yes, exactly. Please, I insist that you have a cigarette at that point. Wow, that's good legislation right there.
You can finally relax at 100.
You can finally relax.
Take a smoke break.
That's right. You work tailored on your health now, by all means. So, okay, this then we have gone full circle. And we're back to square one. So you want...
Wait a minute. There's circles and squares.
Well, there's a square in every circle. I don't know. So you have no compunction. I was going to go out this weekend and find, like, the Pattern Bar, for instance. It's a cute little place, but not really.
But, like, Steve is going drinking this weekend to the Mini Bar in Hollywood, which is the best bar in town.
Right.
And I would be fine with that, although it is one of the hotels for the wedding itself. So we've got people staying there. But, like, I would do that. But then it's like, okay, but then we still we need to replace where dinner is. So right. That doesn't make sense, you know?
Well, we only picked that place for dinner because it was close to the...
But also because right now we're in a position where finding one thing rather than two things seems less daunting.
Okay.
But we could expand our thinking if, and I could expand my definition of what's cool. Like, it could be really kitschy. I don't want to go, like, I have... With how packed the weekend is, the idea of driving down to...
Fashion District or...
No.
Buena Vista, the
pirate theme thing. Where is
Buena
that?
Buena Vista.
It's across the street from, like, Knott's Berry Farm. Yeah. What's the name of that town?
Buena Park.
Okay. Yeah. So that seems awful, the idea of spending Friday night in that kind of traffic both ways before my wedding weekend a horrible weekend. No, horribly, that's wrong.
Horribly busy weekend.
Horribly busy.
Right. So then, okay.
Wonderfully full of joy.
And what do all bachelor parties do? They do the same thing. They either do a bar
Vegas.
Crawl or Vegas or the thing where they do the thing... renting a shuttle bus with that can seat 9, and then you just have the shuttle bus drive you around until it drops you off at your restaurant at the time. But that's not really fun.
Yeah, I mean, exactly what we want to do is spend it in traffic, spend it in a car. But I am wondering if there's any, like, weird, old school, kitschy, old school kind of restaurant. Bar kind of combo that we could even.
Well, is Hank's still a thing? Do you want to go to?
What's Hank's?
Hank's is this in the Stillwell Hotel. It's the second oldest liquor license after the Golden Gopher, or maybe I even have that backwards. But Hank's is a notorious dive bar with these lounges in the back and a popcorn dispensing machine.
Is that still there?
I feel like
we went there a long, long time ago.
And because I've been away for 4 years, I don't know what's still there or not.
All right, you're going to have to do some research.
Yes,
you're going to have to do some reconnoitering.
This is my weekend. This is reconnoitering. So then, give me then the sense of your aesthetic. You want a 1920s kind of prohibition... Esque.
That's a great one. Art Deco is great. Mm-hmm. Rat Pack, Mad Men, sophistication is great. If you're starting to get after the 19, you know, the class post 1962, you start losing my interest.
Okay, and what about these industrial places that have been turned into entire villages with restaurants and cafes and ice creams? Stands and oysters and sushi, but they're all in the enclave of what used to be the fruit processing center or the old clothes manufacturing area. Any of that do that stuff for you?
Nothing about how you described it did. And really, ice cream really ruined the whole thing.
Oh my God, they're not serving ice cream at night. It's
ice cream stands. God, are there going to be kids? What in the world?
During the day, there's kids, but at night, there's bars.
Oh, God.
Okay, so that's out. So now we...
Did I ever tell you about the studio, the movie studio? Oh, I'm trying to remember the name of this place. It's escaping me. But it was in downtown. It was in L.A. near the train tracks, and it had a lot of standing sets in it. And their most frequent, probably film clients were porn. But I knew about this place because of some movie where, you know, we had used some of it for second unit. And then when my friend Richard Waterhouse was making his movie, they needed, a strip club set. And I knew that this place had that. And so they ended up indeed getting a great deal, because back then, 90s and in the early 2000s, at least among people who ran many of these kind of production facilities, cocaine was still a really big thing.
Oh, no.
And so everything was negotiable and was a cash deal.
Oh, my God.
So I went to check in on them to see how their shoot was doing. And sure enough, the guy that runs the place was in good form. He was there and he was in good form. The crew seemed happy. Everything was working well. And I then took the time to show what was the my favorite part of it, which is amidst all these sets that lent themselves to porn was an elementary school classroom set. And this comes down, and while we're in there, the guy who runs the place says, I have some food left over from last night, from an event here last night.
Yeah.
Would your crew like that? And he shows us, and it's totally untouched, like vegetable spreads and all these things. And so the craft service people are, yeah, absolutely. And I said, hold on just a second. What was the event last night?
Right.
It's the weekly swinger party we host here. I said, okay, one, don't tell them that that's where the food came from.
Yeah.
Two, probably don't set out the ranch dressing because we can't be sure.
No.
But three, I'm standing in the elementary school classroom, and sure enough, they use it for daycare during some of these events.
Oh, my God.
I guess night care.
Right.
But so that conversation. All right, Jimmy, play nice with the other kids. Mommy and Daddy are going to go make a half-sibling.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Isn't that great?
So
the seedy underbelly of Hollywood. It's not all glamour.
It's really? Not. I'm shocked to hear it.
It's not all the glamour that you've come to expect from your Chilpack Hollywood
house. I'm certainly not at all glamorized. But you're not suggesting that's where the bachelor party
is? No,
okay.
I'm really
that's
not
why you brought that up.
I'm not. So Steve and I did some reconnoitering on the new Harvey house at the Union Station.
Yeah? And what was wrong with that?
Well, the architecture's fine. It's the perfect place if you want to celebrate your bachelor party by drinking with Metropolitan Water District employees who've just finished work for a week. Because it's downstairs from their headquarters. And these are the people he works with. So, you know, he doesn't want to see them.
Right. Okay.
Oh, that's cool. The guy in the pickup truck next to us honked at the old lady with a cane after she had cleared the street to let her know that she was walking too slow.
Right. That's the message you got to send. It's a hip-hop, chop-chop city.
Welcome. Chop Chop City is the nickname.
Okay.
You've got the City of Brotherly Love.
You know,
it used to be City of Angels, but it's Chop Chop City now.
I was only here when we landed from Australia, and I was terribly jet-lagged, and then suddenly people came and just packed up so much stuff and then sent it. That was the last time I was here. So,
but I'm betting you have some sources of information within the Eastern.
See, this is my thing. That's what I gotta find. The sources of information. Do they still live there? Have I their email addresses? Some of them have moved. Those who I would think I would talk to about this sort of thing. So, in fact, when we get there, they're filming How to Commit Murder. Or that TV series. What's that? How to Frame a Murder? What was that one?
How to Get Away with Murder.
How to Get Away with Murder. They're being filmed in the lobby of the Eastern Columbia this evening. So I think the crew checks will be there just as we arrive. And my conversation might begin right away. So, again, let us not panic.
Who is the who's the young lady that works the desk there at the Eastern?
That's Trinity.
Trinity. Will she have potential answers?
Like a concierge, you mean?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Isn't she the concierge?
Well, yes, but she's not technically a hotel concierge to know all the hotspots. What about, now speaking of movies, the Regal 14 has private rooms for parties. And I don't know if they show movies, but I think they're normally kids' birthday parties. But I don't think it would be that hard to...
No. So take that image in your mind and go in the opposite direction of it.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And so it's movies, though.
I don't need it to be a private room. Oh. I just, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Giannini, the bar Giannini at the Hotel Nomad is perfect if we could, like, reserve all the seats around the bar.
Right.
Like, if we could have that, I would love then being surrounded by people.
Oh,
because it would be a nice clientele. It would be, like I said, easy on the eyes, sweet smelling, and we would have the best seats.
And what's the temperature here these days? Is the rooftop open bar area a bad idea?
We are looking, speaking of we're back to weather. It all comes full circle.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I met John Lawler, one of the groomsmen, and the man who does all our theme songs, who will be performing live during the wedding.
What?
Not a theme song. He'll be performing a song, though, live.
That's neat.
But when I first met him, I was the age that he is now.
Oh.
And that, speaking of full circle, felt like an apropos story. And in other news, apropos is a word with a silent S, I learned.
Yes.
So, back to the topic at hand, which was what?
Rooftop bar and the weather.
We're looking at a lot of rain that whole weekend.
Oh, really? Well, they say that's good luck to have rain on your wedding day.
Okay.
So, that's good luck. It rained at my parents' wedding day, and they were together 37 years. Or, no, more than that.
I think it may have rained on Lily's parents' wedding day.
See?
So, anyway.
That's a good sign.
So, rooftop bars, well, and the next night, Saturday night, is the welcome party.
Oh, yes.
Right? We have the rehearsal luncheon. We have the rehearsal. Rehearsal is so important because... Yes. You know, failure to prepare is preparing to fail. It's why we rehearse these shows.
I know. I'm glad it's going just like rehearsal.
To the nth degree. I have so many celebrity deaths we're not going to get to.
Oh, but, I know.
But we'll just storm in the polar vortex and they'll keep cool. So we're talking about rain that weekend, and we have on Saturday night... on the rooftop bar at the Kimpton Everly in the heart of Hollywood with an unobstructed view of all of historic Hollywood. We have a welcome party.
You booked the whole...
Yeah, and wow. it's raining, yeah.
So they'll put up a tarp.
I don't know. I hope they'll do something.
Okay, so then...
Yeah, that's going to be a shindig. See, so it's just each party gets slightly bigger throughout the weekend.
Right, and so all of these have been planned, and I'm the only one that has...
So we've got a... Well, we had a perfect plan.
And your backup plan, the pirate theme thing. We can go to a pirate theme bar.
I mean, I guess should we look at that Buena Park restaurant and just?
No,
see?
I think I did look, and I didn't think
is
there was a
awful. There, I mean, well, it no, feels like the kind of thing that would be like kids would be at that.
Yeah, kids would be at that,
and I would ruin so many vacations.
Yes, you would.
So I would be at that pirate place the way you are at Disneyland. Only I would be hammered
and berating the performances.
Yes,
I get it.
Yeah.
Well, that's out then.
That performance gave me scurvy.
I have rickets looking at you. Oh, my God. Okay, so then, well, let us table this discussion and say here we are coming to...
Does this discussion have table service, though? It's really, if we table it, see what I did.
Right. Yeah. Well, so then all my ideas suck because I was thinking of stuff over at Olympic and Olivaria, you know.
Of course, you know what else? I like. Here's another idea for you to mull on.
Yeah.
But it's not reopened. But Hop Louie, the old historic pagoda bar in Chinatown, is reopening. The people that redid oh my goodness, the one over the Formosa Cafe.
Oh yeah,
are redoing, updating, not updating, but renovating.
Renovating
the Hop Louie to reopen it, but it's not open yet. But that to me, the old Chinatown dive bar, that would have been perfect. Like that was
what about
soaking
that?
In atmosphere.
Is there that one that's still open on the parking lot that has all Mason Fez and Shriners decorations?
Oh.
Do you know this one?
No.
I saw it before it opened and I met the designer. And then I never got down there. But it sort of sat in a parking lot, I think behind the LA Gun Club.
What?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken. And they said they weren't going to do any advertising because they were in the arts district. People would walk by. And it was a smaller place, but it had two levels. But, we'll see. That'll be my Saturday looking around.
Okay.
I really wish that old furniture store that had the bar in the basement where the stairs lifted up, the old speakeasy stairs, that would have been awesome. Is the King Eddie where Charles Bukowski used to write and drink, is that not a thing anymore?
I don't know.
So nobody knows.
But again, I'm saying that the old Pacific Seas Tiki Bar at Clifton's would be all right.
Would be all right.
And then we go to dinner afterwards.
Okay. Let us say.
We need to be able to reserve...
Nine.
Yeah, table, booth, what have you, for nine people.
Okay.
And there are spaces in there. I'm hoping that they would take a reservation. Now, we might need an insider to help us with that.
Right, because it's Valentine's weekend.
Well, and also because it's kind of a private venue, too.
Right.
But I know some people who know,
you know some
things
people.
In the tiki world.
Right.
I know people who are big deals in the tiki world.
And I used to know the guy, the owner's assistant, but then she left in a rage. So I don't think I would call her up to try and get a deal there.
Yeah, so your connection would not help us.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's go with your connection.
Yeah, we'll try that.
Okay. Wow, look at how clear everything is.
In fact, I might just send that email when I get home to one of the connections and saying, what do you think the odds are that we could get this?
Right. Apparently, I have a connection at Spire 73, the 73rd story bar at the top of that there hotel we're looking at as we stare at the downtown skyline.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody would love that except me.
Yeah. I know. Considering how you're freaking out of the City Hall, which is 27 stories, 73 stories in an earthquake zone, floor-to-ceiling windows.
Oh, God. Well, do you remember we went up drinking in Atlanta at the top of that?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that rotating?
It was rotating. We sat way on the inside and you were freaking out.
But part of that was because you said, come on, we take the elevator. And we get into an elevator and only when we're on the elevator do I realize we've gone inside the hotel to get onto an elevator that's outside the hotel because it's glass.
An all glass hotel.
Including the floor is glass.
Yep.
And I knew that I was doing better at heights on that because we got to floor 60 and I was unhappy. But after 60, I was disconsolate.
Yes.
Like it just, at 60, something kicked in and it was, this is bad.
Yep.
And I only think we went like 67 or something like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, and you broke out of sweat is what happened.
It was rough, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I forget the hotel, but it was part of Dragon Con, if I'm not mistaken, when we were filming.
And then I got so drunk in there and left. We talked about this not long ago, and you don't remember this. This must not have happened to you. But I end up trapped in a zombie parade on the street.
You told me this. I don't remember that at all.
Nothing sobers you up faster than a bunch of drunken zombies.
Yeah, I can see that. See that being a thing.
Look at the big chair.
Yes, that's by the artist Thomas Mann, if I'm not mistaken. He does oversized chairs and...
Are those the ones that are in the Broad?
Yes, if that's the same feller. He's a famous artist, sort of like Claus Oldenburg, doing oversized... things. That piece has been there since time immemorial. I would say the 70s, because we are here at the Creative Habitat, now called The Reef. Oh, boy. Used to be called L.A. Mart. Oh, yeah, it's still L.A. Mart.
La Marte. It's La the Marte. Reef at La Marte.
Oh, I get it. The Reef is a restaurant. La Marte.
I don't know.
So now we're on Broadway at Washington for those who followed along.
And, Google Earth after the fact.
Yes. No, I said make a left on Broadway. They knew. Okay. They knew we were on Century.
Well, no, but I mean they can't follow along live is what I'm saying. It's
right.
This is live on digital audio, as Mark says at the beginning of the Breakfast Club podcasts, which I am way behind on as well.
Oh, my God. So that's why you're swamped. That's why this is a Wednesday show.
I haven't gotten February's show started yet. No, I'm swamped because of the wedding. I've been up till 3:30 every night over the last several days working on wedding stuff.
You know, I don't think a wedding should be this big a production.
Oh, really?
Really.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna just reel that back. I'm not gonna add any more to that sentence.
It's funny people who are not married, their feelings about what a wedding should be are really very meaningful, very insightful.
Yeah, that's
just be ready also for that big for the big speech you got to give.
Oh, I already got it.
At the reception.
That my whole joke is I wrote it in 91 when you met her. So
that's not. She was 11 then.
Well,
that's a really inappropriate joke. You know, hashtag time's up for that kind of stuff.
Gosh.
So we were supposed to talk about the 4% challenge.
Oh, what's this?
This is, speaking of time's up, their initiative that because they found out that something like only 4% of the top 1,000 movies at the box office over the last decade were directed by women. So they've issued a challenge to all the major studios. So this is the challenge. Hire one woman to direct a project in the next 18 months.
That's it?
That's going to... I mean, the odd thing is...
That will tip it.
1,000 means... you know, let's just say it's basically the 100 top box office per year.
Right.
Well, how many films do the studios actually make? Not 100.
Not 100.
I mean, combined, maybe they, you know, make half of that.
Yeah.
And because of the size of those budgets, they're pretty much all guaranteed to be in the top 100. Even if they're huge bombs, just the sheer size of the gross will put it in that.
Right.
So the odd thing is just by having... one, at least over the next 18 months, they may boost that percentage up a little bit, but not by a lot. I mean,
that's a shock.
I thought the challenge, how about like a...
Like, get more women directing.
Yeah, how about it equal the population split?
How about that?
Yeah. How about 50-50? I don't know.
I'm just saying. So, okay, well, let's talk about that next week. And look at all the construction...
And I have horror films that I want to talk about, believe it or not, and I want to talk about reboots versus remakes versus long delayed sequels, because that now seems to be the thing. Especially, I was thinking about, apropos of the last Halloween movie that was written by Danny McBride, and how it turns out to just be a sequel to the original Halloween, arguing that all the other sequels didn't happen.
Oh.
And yet, there is a doff of the cap somewhere in it to each individual sequel.
Wow.
But they say that only the original is canon. This is a sequel to that. Rather than rebooting it or remaking it, which often, franchises are trying to do. In fact, Jason Reitman has taken over the Ghostbusters
thing.
And it will be a sequel to the 1984 film. And maybe, I guess, that means the 89 film. But not to the reboot.
Say. So then this is all about, to me, it's all about how expensive marketing is. You have to have some sort of brand of any sort.
Oh, should I have gone left there?
No, you can pull up, see how the film... Oh, that's not a film crew. There's some sort of construction up on the right here.
I was supposed to see a screening at the theater at the Ace Hotel last night, and I blew it off.
Why?
Because wedding stuff.
Guests of your Chill Pack Hollywood Hour stay at the Baldwin Hills Motor Inn. promotional consideration paid for by Empire State Gas. From farm to pump, we've got great gas. Belated spoiler alert.